sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of sin nailed to that old rugged cross. And I'm so grateful that our Savior bore my punishment. You know, the one who is forgiven much loves much. And I, for one, have a lot of reason to love. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would please this morning, Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to study verses 15 through 21. We're going to back up to verse 14 to catch the thought and remember where we're at. But we've been challenged in starting in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians to have a walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. We've been called to a service for the God who loved us and gave himself for us. We've been called that we would henceforth, from this moment on, live for him. We would walk for him. Our life would be for him. We've been called to walk in love. And we've been called to walk in light. And we've been called to not walk after the Gentiles. And today we're going to see that we've been called to walk circumspectly. And we'll learn more about that this morning as we stand together, if you're able, please. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. What a joy to even be able to walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got that calling in our lives today. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray your Holy Spirit would move among us today. Lord, I pray if anyone here is continuing to walk in sin, to walk in darkness, to walk as a fool, you'd open their eyes today, they would repent and trust in Christ, and that they would walk in the light, walk in love, and help us all, Lord, to walk in wisdom, to walk circumspectly. Please bless your word. Help me, for I'm nothing without you. And I pray that if there's anyone here unsaved, that they'll repent and trust Christ today. Be saved. The saved to be baptized and serve you in the church. And Lord, you'd help us all to walk the walk you've called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. In verse 15, he says, see then. See then. Like we see so many times, wherefore, therefore, we want to look back and understand what he's saying. Because of what? Because of this. Because he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You see, without Jesus Christ, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. When you heard the call of the Holy Spirit of God, you repented, you trusted Christ. He gave you everlasting life. He brought you from death to life. He gave you light and life, and he says, now live like you're saved. And that's basically what Ephesians is about. It tells us about our salvation, about who we are in Christ for three chapters, and then it spends three chapters telling us about how to live for Christ and live in Christ and live like you're saved. We need to understand today, dear friends, that we have been given great, rich blessings from God through the sacrifice, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. The blessings of heaven are available to us. He's given us life in Christ. He's given us wisdom and light and love. And he's just challenging us to walk in those things. Live. Live like you're saved. Our walk is our choices that we make each day. And you'll find that when you make certain choices every day, you'll develop a habit. And a habit will become a lifestyle. And when you get to the end of your life, you look back at your life and you'll realize it was just the culmination of all the little choices you made along the way. We make little choices like whether we're going to read our Bible every day, whether we're going to be constant in prayer, whether we're going to be faithful in church, whether we're going to go to Sunday school, and whether we're going to go to Wednesday night, and whether we're going to go on outreach and reach others with the gospel, whether we're going to be faithful to carry gospel tracts, whether we're going to have family devotions, and we make choices every day that impact our lives, whether we're going to watch some filthy movie or some stupid TV show or listen to some ungodly music. We make all of those choices, and they all impact our life, and that's our walk. That's what our walk is, those choices that we make. And so he says, because Christ has given you light, then walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This word circumspectly is not a word that we use on a regular basis, but it's a great word, and it simply means exactly. It means to be precise. It means to put your feet in a certain spot. It means when you're walking, you want to be very careful how you walk, because you want to put your feet in the exact spot that God wants you to put your feet. You understand that sin literally means to miss the mark. Well, to be circumspect is basically the opposite of that. It's to hit the mark. It's coming up on deer season. I'm sure most of you didn't know that. A few of you are aware of that. It's like the only time of the year that matters. Some of you live for Christmas. Some people live to shoot Bambi. That's okay. I love deer meat, so it's okay. Well, these guys are out practicing with their bow. And they get their bow out, or they get their rifle out, and they want to zero it in. And when you're sighting in a gun or a bow, you want to be accurate, and you want to be precise. Accuracy is when Brother Tom goes out to the range, he shoots his gun, and he gets a nice little cluster of bullets. If he's accurate, they'll be really close together. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's precise, because he could have them very close together away from the bullseye. Right? If he's precise, that means that he's hitting the mark. That means he's hitting the bullseye. The same thing with Augie out there with his bow. He's trying to get that thing where he can hit the bullseye every time. He wants to have a tight grouping of arrows, and he wants them to be on the mark. Okay? Now, when I shoot a gun or a bow, I'm happy if I hit the target at all. It's about as accurate and precise as I get. But I'm going to tell you that it's good to be accurate and precise if you're going to go hunting, because you want to hit the mark. When that deer comes along, when that monster buck comes through, you want to be able to put your projectile where you want it. And that's good. That's important. And it's very wonderful for me, because some of you love your pastor and you give him deer meat. I don't have to sit in a stand and freeze to death. I don't have to do any of that stuff. It just magically arrives, and it's glorious. I love that. Thank you for loving your pastor. But when I live my life, I want to hit the mark. I want to be accurate. I want to hit the mark consistently. You guys with me? I don't want to be here and there and over here and missing the target altogether. I don't want to do that. I want to hit the target every time. And not just the target, I want to be as close to the bullseye as I can get every time. I want to be both accurate and precise. And this word circumspect means exactly. We would say precisely. So it's talking about hitting the mark. It's talking about hitting that bullseye. But I don't want to just hit the bullseye every once in a while. I don't want to live my life in a way that I'm being faithful to God and every once in a while I can actually hit the mark. I want to get so, you know, guys, there's some guys that are good. They're so good. You say, I want to get good so that I can hit the bullseye every once in a while. No, you want to be so good that you don't miss the bullseye. Right? I want to be so good that I don't miss. Not so good that I don't get it. I get it right sometimes. I want to be so good that I don't get it wrong. No, I'm talking about life. I'm talking about living. I'm talking about the way I serve my Savior. I'm talking about the way I love and live for my wife. I'm talking about the way that I raise my children. I'm talking about the way I serve in the church. I'm talking about my life, the things that really matter. I want to be circumspect, exact, precise. I want to hit the mark. Sin, hamartia, it means to miss the mark. And this word means to be exact. And that's what we want to do. We want to be circumspect. And so how do we do that? Well, We do it by walking wisely. He says, don't walk as fools, but walk as wise. That means that we have the wisdom of God and we walk in wisdom. Now, wisdom is knowledge applied. There's Greek philosophy, and you talk about Aristotle and all those guys and how wise they were. Well, they had a philosophical wisdom. It wasn't ever real for them. It was just in their mind. It was in their conversations. But we're talking about biblical wisdom. That's completely different. This is not just philosophy. This isn't just mind. This isn't just thought. This is practical. It's actual. Biblical wisdom is how we actually live. If somebody is wise, that means that they do wise things. They make wise decisions. They live in wisdom. And that's what he's calling us to do, friends. He's calling us to walk as wise. And we can look all through the Bible and see about wisdom and foolishness, but I don't think it's any better highlighted anywhere than in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs highlights for us who the fool is and who the wise is. And I want to just give you a few verses this morning to help you understand what a fool is. Sometimes the best way is for us to understand how not to live is to look at that. How to live right is to look at how not to live. So the fool, I want to give you one out of Psalms. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. And we live in a world today where the fastest growing religion in America is no religion at all. There are more professed atheists in the United States of America today than ever before in the history of the world. More and more people, as they come up through secular scientific teaching, what the Bible calls science, falsely so-called, they're taught that there is no God, and they're taught that we don't need to believe in God, and we're taught that you're an idiot and backwoods moron if you believe in God. And the Bible says that, no, we're not the morons. You are. Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you can look at creation. You can understand conscience, that every person has a conscience that knows right from wrong. The world around, we can look at history. We can look at the accuracy of the scriptures in so many different ways. And God has revealed himself to the world so plainly, so clearly, that you would have to be a fool to say that there is no God. You'd have to be a fool to say everything came from nothing. I got it from another preacher, but I like to ask atheists that. They say that I don't believe in God, and I'll say, so you believe the scientific impossibility that nothing created everything? That's what they believe. That's foolish. But the whole basis of foolishness, the whole basis of foolishness, you understand that the fool says in his heart there is no God. He convinces himself there is no God. He suppresses the truth in his unrighteousness because they're corrupt, because of their wicked lifestyle. They don't want to acknowledge God because they want to continue to live in their sin. They don't have a mental problem with God. They have a moral problem with God. And so, but that's what foolishness is all about. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of man. We want to live in a world void of God so we can do whatever we want to do without being accountable to anybody. And that's what you'll see throughout the Proverbs, is a fool basically doesn't want to acknowledge the truth of God, and it leads him down this path of destruction. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool doesn't want to hear the truth. The fool doesn't want to hear the word of God. He doesn't want to be instructed in wisdom. He hates it. He despises it. Proverbs 1:22, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to have any part of it. They don't want to be exposed to it. They hate the knowledge and wisdom of God. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The fool does what's right in his own eyes. And have you ever heard somebody say this, or have you ever said it yourself? I just don't see anything wrong with it. What are they doing? They're doing what's right in their own eyes. They ignore what the wisdom of God says, and they say, I don't see anything wrong with it. That's right, because you do what's right in your own eyes. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Proverbs 14:8. We can go on and on and on, but at the end of the day, it all comes down to this. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 17:16, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? He doesn't want to know wisdom. He doesn't want to know instruction. Why does he even show up? Because he doesn't care. He doesn't want to learn. He doesn't want to know the truth. He doesn't want to know the truth. The fool is always looking somewhere else for truth. He's always looking somewhere else to discover himself. Proverbs 17:24, wisdom is before him that hath understanding. But the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. He's always looking for those greener pastures on the other side. He's always looking out there for some truth that's right in front of his face. A fool hath no delight in understanding. Listen to this. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Have you ever met somebody that was trying to find themselves? Seriously, have anybody ever heard somebody say that? I'm just trying to find myself. By the way, that's a foolish thing to do. It's really cool for Disney movies, apparently, to follow your heart and find yourself. But the Bible says, don't follow your heart. It's deceitfully wicked. Don't follow your heart. Follow the truth. Follow wisdom and understanding. The wise person loves wisdom and instruction and understanding. The fool has no heart to it. You say, well, that would be really, really stupid to have the truth right in front of you and not obey what it says. But I just wonder how many of us come and sit in church week after week. We open our Bible and read it at home. We see wisdom and instruction, and rather than obey it, we reject it. We hear the truth. We're instructed in righteousness, and rather than live it, we ignore it. You know what that is? That's foolishness. That's walking like a fool. When God says, do this, and we don't do it. When God says, don't do that, and we do it anyway, that's foolishness. That's the definition of a fool. We despise wisdom and instruction. You say, I don't despise the word of God. If you don't obey it, you're despising it. We're rejecting it. That's what it means to despise, hate, reject, ignore, disobey. It's all the same. And we can live as fools, though we've been given the wisdom of God, through the Spirit of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the enlightenment of His Word, through the Holy Scriptures, we have wisdom and instruction, and yet we can be just as foolish as an unbeliever, maybe even worse so when we are disobedient to the Word of God. We despise wisdom and instruction. You see, as they reject these truths and they reject this, it affects their heart and mind, and it shows in their mouths. You understand the Lord taught us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what goes into our mind, it will go sink down into your heart, and then it will come back out of your mouth. That's the way it works. You get around somebody that cusses, you know why? Because they've heard it, it's been in their mind, it's sunk down in their heart, and that's why it comes out of their mouth. You get around somebody who praises God all the time. They're always giving God glory. Why? Because that's in their mind. It's sunk down into their heart, and it comes out of their mouth. Whatever comes out of your mouth, that's what defiles you, the Lord says, because that shows what's in your heart. What is it that's coming out of your heart? Well, let me tell you what comes out of the heart of a fool. Proverbs 10:18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. They utter slander. They're putting other people down. They're liars. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. How do you know a fool? Because when they get angry, their wrath is made known. They let it know. They show it. They say it. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. They're not content just to be foolish. They're not content just to have it in their mind and in their heart. They got to spew it out all the time. They're always proclaiming their foolishness. Like the people who say they don't believe in God and spend their lives writing books and making movies about how there is no God. They hate God, but they say they don't believe in God. They're uttering their foolishness. They're proclaiming it. Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. They speak with pride. They speak lies. They speak slander. They speak anger and bitterness and wrath. Proverbs 29, verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but I can promise you this proverb is true, and I am a living testimony, because there have been times when a conversation was going on and I knew I just needed to keep my mouth shut, and stuff just kept falling out. Anybody else been there? And I have even had a conversation with myself in the middle of it going, you just need to shut up. Shut up! Stop talking! And it just keeps coming. And then you leave and you're like, oh, why? Why couldn't you just keep your mouth shut? You know, because if you keep your mouth shut, even a fool is thought wise when he doesn't, when he holds his tongue. You know, you can keep people guessing. They may think you're smart. But then if you are not smart, you'll open your mouth and you'll remove all doubt. Some people you get around, they feel like anything that comes to their mind needs to be spoken out loud. And I can promise you that's a foolish thing to do. Everything that comes to your mind, well, I thought it, I might as well say it. No. No. Keep it in. Keep it in. So these people, they despise wisdom and instruction. They reject God. They become a god to themselves. They have this foolishness, and it's not just enough for them to be foolish. They in their own mind, they've got to spew this stuff out. Their mouth pours out foolishness, and then it affects their entire life. Proverbs 10:23 says, "It is as a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom." They not only live in wickedness and do wrong things, but they love it. They love to do mischief. They love to do wrong. They love to hurt other people. They love to cause problems. Proverbs 13:19 says, "The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil." They've turned wisdom and instruction upside down to the point they think it's a wrong thing. It's an evil thing to stop doing evil. Have you ever seen somebody that was so entrenched in a lifestyle of sin that they just couldn't get out of it? It almost felt wrong to leave it. I just can't quit. I can't stop. My friends, and that's my way of life. That's all I've ever known. And they almost feel like it would be a bad thing to stop living in the evil way. That's a foolish person. Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock at sin. But among the righteous there is favor. Dear friend, don't make a mock at sin. It's not funny. I'll never forget it. At teen camp years ago, young preacher boy, he's young, he's my age. I remember him at a late night service. He was preaching one time, and he got to going, and he set everybody up perfectly, because he talked about how people like to get drunk, and you know, people like to laugh at drunk people. They stag around, they do stupid things, say stupid things, and he kind of set us up, got everybody kind of giggling, and he said, "It's not funny!" And it gave me a heart attack, scared me. But you know what? That's stuck with me, because it's not funny. You want to laugh at people getting drunk and ruining their lives and ruining their families? It's not funny. It's not funny at all. There's nothing humorous about it, and I think everybody in this room has probably been guilty at laughing at things that aren't funny. It's not funny. We make a mock at sin. That's a foolish thing to do, to make a mock at sin. Proverbs 14:9. It's not funny. Sin is not funny. It's deadly. And the more we laugh at sinful behavior, the more we make a mock at it, the more people accept it. And the more we accept it, the more people will be led astray by it. And the end of that is death. Do you know where Hollywood makes all their money in sitcoms? Is by getting you to laugh at sin. Laugh at all these gay couples and the gay people, and laugh at all the debauchery, and laugh at the people sleeping around, and laugh at the people shacking up, and laugh at the people getting drunk, and laugh at the people getting high. Ha, 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 it's real funny. No, it's deadly. It's not funny at all. There's nothing funny about people being homosexual. There's nothing funny about people being drunks. There's nothing funny about people sleeping around. It's not funny. It's deadly. It's a foolish thing to make a mock at sin. And the next time you see yourself watching something on TV and you're laughing at some sinful behavior, stop it. Turn that filth off. What's the only thing that's on? Turn off the TV. Amen. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rageth and is confident. And here's one that ought to give you a good picture in your mind of the way a foolish person lives. Proverbs 26, verse 11. Proverbs 26, verse 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. That's a pretty picture, isn't it? How many of you have dogs? Did you put your hands up, please? Don't be ashamed. We have dogs. I hate them. They almost died last night. They would not stop barking. I had to get up and go outside at like 2 in the morning and 4 in the morning and 5 in the morning, and there's nothing there. They're barking at nothing. And I really, really, I love my kids or the dogs would be dead right now. Dogs are some of the nastiest creatures on the face of the planet. They're disgusting. They really do go back to their vomit. And then you let them lick you on the face. And I see videos of people sharing an ice cream with their dog, and I'm like, do you know? That's a pretty picture, isn't it? You know what that is? That's us. When we get out of sin and we go back to it. And we get out of sin and we go back to it. The next time you're on your knees repenting of some sin you just can't seem to overcome, listen, God is for you. God loves you. He will forgive you. He will help you to overcome. But he gives us verses like this, I think, to help us understand. The next time you've repented and you're tempted to go back into that sin, you just think about your dog eating its puke. Just get a real vivid picture of that in your mind. Just imagine it. Imagine the smell of it. And see if that doesn't deter you from going back to that sin, because that's exactly what we're doing. Foolish people are angry. I know some of you fellas don't want me to preach this, and I don't really want to either, but a fool is marked by his anger. Proverbs 14:17 says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lip enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Proverbs 20 and verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Fools like to get angry in a hurry. Fools like to fight. Fools live with contention. They always want to argue. They always want to fight. They're always the guys that want to meet out in the parking lot after school or after church. I don't think that's happened here, at least in a while, that I know of. A foolish person is angry. I know guys that are so proud. Man, I got a short fuse. That's not something to be proud of. You've just bragged about being a fool. I have a problem with my anger. I'll confess it to you today. I get angry about the stupidest things. And usually I get angry at the people I love the most. Anybody else confess that with me? I don't want to be alone up here in my sin. Thank you. I'm not saying it's okay because we're in the same boat. We need to repent. We need to get right. We need to stop being angry. It's a foolish thing to be quick to anger. If you want to be angry, be angry at sin. If you want to be angry about the ungodliness in our world. If you want to be angry with something righteous, not something stupid, inconsequential. Most of us are angry because of our pride. A fool is not only soon angry, but he's wasteful. Proverbs 21:20 says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. I just wanted you to get a picture from Proverbs of what a fool is like, because he says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And so we take this quick survey through Proverbs, we see what a foolish man is like. He doesn't believe in God. He hates God's wisdom and instruction. He despises it. He utters all of these foolish things out of his mouth. He lies. He slanders. He's hateful. He's angry. This is the picture of the foolish man. And God says, don't walk like a fool. Walk in wisdom. Walk with wisdom. Very quickly, I want you to look back at our text at verse 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. To walk circumspectly, we need to walk with urgency. We need to walk with urgency. Colossians 4 and verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We have this theme. We need to redeem the time. We need to ransom the time. That's what it means. It means to buy back the time. People say, have you ever said, I wish I had more time? You ever look at other people and say, I wish I had as much time as they do? Anybody else? These other people that seem to get it all done and have it all together, I wish I had as much time as they have. Let me help you out. God has granted you that today. As a matter of fact, he's evened it out. You know what he did? He gave everybody 24 hours every day. He gave everybody 7 days every week. So now that you know you have more time, we need to redeem the time. We need to use our time wisely. We need to be careful with our time. We need to guard our time. Time is our most precious commodity. People say time is money. What that means is what you do with your time is very valuable, because how you spend your time can cost you greatly or it can bless you greatly. We need to be careful how we spend our time, and Americans waste more time than anybody on the planet. We spend more time in front of a screen than anybody in the world. And what are we doing? Are we redeeming the time? No, we're wasting our time. If you found something worthwhile to watch on television, please let me know, because I would love to find out about it. We waste our time. We don't redeem our time. We need to be careful about how we use our time. Friends, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming again. And we need to be found watching, be found waiting, be found ready, be found serving, be found faithful. So we need to use our time wisely. A lot of you have young children in your home. We need to redeem the time. Our kids are growing up quick. It's going to be a blink and they're going to be gone. Can I get an amen from some empty nesters? You're going to turn around and your kids are going to be grown, having their own kids. You're going to go, what happened? And you're going to look back and say, I wish I'd have done this, or I wish I'd have done that. Well, wherever you're at in life, don't leave yourself to those regrets. Think, how can I use my time best for my life, for my family, for my children, for my grandchildren? Listen, some of you are like, you're young, Brother Isaac, you got plenty of time. I may not have a day. Bill Conley might outlive me. He doesn't think that's even possible, but I know it is. I'm just trying to tell you, we need to live with some urgency. We need to look into the Word of God and find wisdom and instruction, and we need to walk in that wisdom and instruction. We need to walk with understanding. Verse 17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We need to walk with understanding. We need to put it together. That's what that word means. Put it together. Comprehend it. We need to put it together. We need to get in the Word of God and put it together about how we're supposed to live. We're not going to live like fools, okay? Then how do we live? We need to get into the Word of God and understand those things, because that's really what our life is all about, is understanding the will of the Lord. Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This is the pleasure. That's the same word as will. The pleasure of the Lord, the will of the Lord. What can I do to live to please God? Get in the Word of God and find understanding about how to live to please the Lord. And let me tell you where you can find that wisdom. It's the same place Timothy found it. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Where did Timothy get wisdom? Well, the wisdom of God came from the Scriptures, which made him wise unto salvation. And Paul said, Timothy, continue in the things that you've learned. Continue in the Word of God. That's what Jesus said makes us real disciples, if we continue in His Word. Why? Because it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, in righteousness, for reproof. All of those things are available. So we'll know what's right. We'll know how what's not right. We'll know how to get right, and we'll know how to stay right. It all comes from the Word. So understanding. We walk with urgency. We walk with understanding. And very quickly, we need to walk under the influence. Verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We need to walk under the influence, but not the kind of influence that gets you thrown in jail or causes you to lose your driver's license. We need to walk under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. To my knowledge, what I'm about to tell you is, people leave church. I hate it, but they do. And most of the time, I never know why people quit church. But to my knowledge, what I'm about to tell you is one of the number one reasons people have left the churches that I've pastored. Because I'm going to tell you this morning that you ought to stay away from alcohol. And people say, well, the Bible doesn't say that you can't drink. The Bible says that we should not be drunk with wine wherein is excess. And people tell me all the time, they say, well, it's okay to drink as long as you don't get drunk. And my question for you is, how do you know how much you can drink without getting drunk? Amen. The only way you're going to figure it out is to get drunk. So in order to not sin, you're telling me you have to sin. And I've had debates with lots of people, and if you want to come to the conclusion that you can drink and it's okay to drink, And you can't tell me I can't drink. I guess at the end of the day, if you want to make all those arguments about can and can't, I'll tell you this, that you shouldn't. Amen. You say, I have the liberty to drink if I want to. Well, maybe you do have that liberty, but you shouldn't. I'm going to ask you a question. We got a liquor store in town, because you can't have a town in Oklahoma without a liquor store. If next week you're driving down there by the liquor store, and what's really sad is everybody knows where it's at. Nobody has to wonder where I'm talking about. If you don't know, that's good. I'm not going to tell you. But if you see, when you drive down, you see me coming out of the liquor store with a couple of paper sacks, I just wonder what you're going to think about your pastor. If you see me come out of the liquor store without anything in my hands, what are you going to think about your pastor? And I know Brother Ryan, he would say, well, I just figured you were in there preaching the gospel to those people. Amen. Right? Because he loves his pastor. Stick up for me. No, we're supposed to abstain from all appearance of evil. And if you say the pastor has no business in the liquor store, guess what? You don't have any business there either. I'd like to take more time to dig into all of this, but the reality is, don't be drunk with wine. The Bible word for wine is oinos. It just means the fruit of the vine. You have to look at the context to know whether it's fermented or unfermented. It's the same word for alcoholic and non-alcoholic. You have to look at the context. I'll never believe for a second that our Savior made alcoholic wine and gave it out at a party. I don't care what you ever say, I'll never believe that. He doesn't tempt men to sin. He wouldn't put people in that compromising situation. He wouldn't do it. And we try to apply our cultural norms to the narrative, and we say, oh, but the governor said he gave the good stuff at the last. Well, biblical good stuff is not your drunken party on Friday night good stuff. I mean, come on. What we need to be filled with is the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 13:52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know what happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You praise Him, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you're in the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit, you let forth praise. Why? Because what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you worship God. You praise Him. You give Him thanks. You have joy in your heart and soul. And dear friends, we ought to have joy every day. And it brings about humility. Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Being filled with the Spirit doesn't lift us up with pride, thinking we're better. No, it causes us to bow down. It causes us to be humble. It causes us to lift others up. And being filled with the Spirit of God has so many effects, but the number one effect is this. I want to share it with you while we get ready for an invitation this morning. It causes us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know why God, Jesus, He gave the Holy Spirit to the church? So that they would be empowered to be witnesses. I've got a lot of dear friends who are very confused about what being filled with the Spirit means and what it does. I love them. I truly love them. I care about them. But I want to promise you this. Being filled with the Spirit doesn't cause you to act crazy or lose your control of yourself or any of that stuff. Amen. If you'll study your Bible, you'll find this happens when you're filled with the Spirit. You go and tell others about Jesus. Amen. That's what happens. That's what happens. And if you want to discuss it or study it out, I would love to do that with you. But the result of being filled with the Spirit is the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every time. They were filled with the Spirit and they preached Jesus. They were filled with the Spirit and they went everywhere proclaiming the gospel. That's what happens when you're filled with the Spirit. So as we are filled with the Spirit, as the Spirit fills us up because we're yielded to Him and He takes control, we go and we're witnesses for Jesus Christ. We're going to stand together this morning. What number are we going to sing?
Page 555.
Number 555. Friend, if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, if you've been walking foolishly, repent and ask God to help you walk in wisdom. Walk circumspectly.